The Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on iTunes and at davedameshek.nfl.com. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Hi and hello, football fans. It's your old pal Dave, Dave Dameshek. What's going down? I hope all's well wherever you are. Welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available as always on iTunes, Stitcher, and nfl.com/Sheck.
S-H-E-K, Sheck.
Another week, another month's worth, at least, of stuff to talk about as it pertains to pro football. Let's dig into it now in just a little bit. Future Hall of Famer, future Hall of Fame human being as well, I dare say. He's one of our favorites when he comes into Studio 66 here. It's LaDainian Tomlinson. He'll be along in a matter of moments. He's feeling pretty good. Last I saw him in the hallway about a week ago, he's a huge NBA fan, and you know that if you've ever listened to this podcast. He loves kibitzing about pro round ball. He was down in the dumps because he loves them Rockets, and he said, I'll ask him about it, but he said, like, Dave, Kevin McHale, I just don't know if he can coach, you know? And now his Rockets are on to the conference finals. So we'll talk to our NBA expert, LaDainian Tomlinson, about this, that, and the other. In the meantime, let's break down some pro football action with the man seated to my immediate left, all the way from London, England. He's feeling good, too, now that his QB is in the fold long term. It's Handsome Hank.
He's handsome, Hank.
Hello, Handsome. How are you?
I'm very well indeed. Thank you, Dave. For a second there, I thought you were predicting me going to Canton when you talked about future Hall of Fame.
But then it's unlikely.
It is unlikely. But I still harbor some hopes. And you, for a second, you help those flare up. And
for a second there, Dave, I thought you introduced me when you said NBA expert.
Black tie behind the glass. Only in your mind, black tie. Yes. And on your Twitter account. Are you an NBA expert?
That's a word.
Talking
that's
to no one.
Providing counsel to Doc Rivers and the rest as they're in the midst of coaching the game. They're unlikely to be checking their Twitters to see what Black Tie has to offer up. All right, so let's start there, Black Tie. Lots to get to. I mean, Black Tie. Handsome Hank, I should say.
I have got a tan at the moment, so I understand.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, still feeling good about your trip south of the border, eh? Mexico.
That's right.
Down Mexico way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had Honey Badger in here last Friday, and
he was
a delightful fella, and there's a video, I believe, up at NFL.com right now, or perhaps even two. He was a fun guy to yap with, so we did a couple different things. One question I asked him, Handsome, is one that you asked me about 10 minutes before I headed up to Studio 66 to kibitz with the Honey Badger. By the way, I did ask him, do you mind if I call you Honey Badger? And he was lukewarm on the idea.
Right.
But, you know, then we got into it a little bit.
I don't know. So Honey Badger, I know you're aware, and maybe the listener is as well, but Honey Badgers are lethal little animals. They live in Africa, and they're apparently scared of nothing. Their first goal is, like, they don't care if there's a lion there. Do you know this whole thing, what Honey Badgers are? But they go straight for the testes of an animal because they're smart. They're like, I'm smaller than a lion, but if I hit them where it hurts, then whatever. I feel like that's a good nickname for him. But if your name is Tyron, I would have thought Tyrannosaurus Rex would be a better nickname for you, and it would make more sense within the context.
Except
of
ironic.
Name.
Yeah, you're right, but he's,
but he's a small
guy
rather than big. But I wouldn't let that worry me at all.
I thought we were going down a road of Honey Badger facts.
Well, I
started going there.
It's an interesting.
But then, like, as dangerous as a honey badger can be, and they have this, like,
pound
resiliency
pound. Yeah.
And pound for pound, whatever, Tyrannosaurus Rex is, like, the greatest carnivore in the history of, you know, for defensive players. I've pointed this out on Twitter before, but it gets me going every day, every Sunday, or pretty much every day of the year, an NFL player will post a picture of a lion with, like, mate coming out of its mouth, and it's pounding along looking strong, and it'll be like ready to crush the day or whatever NFL players like to put on Twitter. But the truth is, lions spend 19 hours a day asleep,
napping,
3 hours a day making love with their wives, and an hour a day eating food that their wives dragged home.
The Lions do the 3-hour lovemaking session?
Well, no,
like Sting. They're like a tantric
beast.
No,
there's no tantric. No, what I mean is like 10 minutes at a time for 3 hours a day.
Oh, yeah. I see.
In between sleeping.
That's a different kind of achievement.
Yeah.
And not one to,
brag
about so much. But NFL players love to put pictures of Lions up where actually Lions are like, yeah, okay, they've got sharp teeth and everything, but they're kind of lazy and certainly not something I would model myself if I was trying to tell you just
they are down
a
for a fight, though, you know, when it comes to protecting territory and all that. Lions are my favorite animals, so, you know.
You're such a front runner. Why would a lion be your favorite animal?
They're called the king of the jungle. You can't be more front running than being the lion.
That's the ultimate front runner animal choice.
I mean, you guys are recording a podcast right now with the Seahawks helmet on, my Seahawks helmet on there. But I have make no shame in my front running. However, it's because of the Lion King, man. That's why lions are my favorite.
All right, terrific. A wildly popular movie. That doesn't really make you any less of
it's the best movie ever made.
Lion King.
Yes.
Is the best movie ever made.
Best thing ever made in human existence.
Please turn your microphone.
No.
Now listen, back to serious business.
Yes.
I think a honey badger, you couldn't name a team honey badgers. Because it's weird. The honey badgers, plus there are already badgers, but the Wisconsin Badgers. But that is a great subject. If you get a franchise, let's say one of these teams moves to Los Angeles to be
London.
A pro team or London,
mm-hmm.
and they don't want to lean on the old name.
Yep.
In LA, of course, that's one of the oldest things mm-hmm. And it is true that the Lakers, even though there are no lakes in LA, they stay the Lakers, the Brooklyn Dodgers, Trolley Dodgers is the origin of that name, and yet there are no trolleys riding the streets of LA. Nonetheless, they are the Dodgers and so on. But if they blew it up and they said, we have to come up with a whole new beast identity.
It has to be a beast.
Well, let's start there.
Okay.
Because I've laid out the animals that you have to avoid. There are animals that are so loathsome out there in the animal kingdom that you can't name your team after them, even though they do nasty things like the tapeworm. You couldn't be the Los Angeles tapeworms. Yeah. It's too repellent.
The bacteria.
The rats, yes. Right. Yeah, that would be, the bacteria would be bad. One that I'm on the fence about, wasps. Because everybody hates a wasp.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, snakes are loathsome too, and Arizona is the Diamondbacks.
Right, but wasps are annoying, and they induce fear in people, but they are easily dealt with a newspaper or the sole of your shoe.
I disagree with you on that. You sound brave. I'd like to see you in action.
I've done it many times.
Oh, I fear them. I don't like that. They're some unholy terror concocted in the middle of the earth where it's fiery by the devil and his henchmen. Those, what goes on with that creature, the way it's proportioned, that pointy tail thing that hangs casually off the backside and the way they fly, and they go after you. These ain't bees now. They go at these wasps.
I have another true NFL story to tell you about NFL players and wasps. Ooh. So in my first ever thing working with the NFL was 1993. Can you imagine that? I was just a young boy of 16.
You seem like
16.
You would be minus four.
I was 16 years old, and the New York Giants and San Diego Chargers came and played in Berlin, Germany, one of the preseason games they used to play, American Bowls. And it was great. It was all the Junior Seau was playing for the Chargers. The Giants it was actually the year that the Chargers wound up in the Super Bowl. The Giants had Dave Brown, the great Dave Brown at quarterback. You remember him? And not a memorable. It was actually Michael Strahan's rookie season. Anyway, teams on the field. There's a great massive practice facility there that they were using, but there were a lot of wasps around, like trash cans there, because they've been throwing Gatorade in. And European wasps are pretty aggressive because there is only summer for like 2 months. So if you're a wasp in Europe, you need to make your money when you can and eat as much sticky stuff as you can and do all the waspy type things, sting people, whatever else. So it was my first time seeing NFL players in the flesh. It was very exciting. But what I hadn't banked on was that NFL players like you and like me as well are terrified of wasps and being stung by them. So you would have Michael Strahan, gigantic human being who would be like, oh my God, there's a wasp, and running around. And it was just, for me, I couldn't quite compute in my brain that these were huge football players and also terrified of wasps. And they were all, because there were so many wasps there, they were all running around, going, ah, there's a wasp.
Oh, the video of that would be sublime, yeah, to have that. The mighty New York football Giants, right, running around in mass away from a wasp. But so, all right, maybe a wasp would be a good creature because, as you say, the
even
defining characteristic is that they're terrifying.
Right.
Which, or at least, you know, honey badger, maybe that would have been a good one for him. Wasp, he's small, mm,
he
but
is
terrifying.
Yep. You couldn't sting do, in his tail.
You couldn't do the cockroaches. Nobody wants to be that.
Nope.
You know, any kind of rodent, really, mm-hmm, won't make it. A good one, though, is rhinos. And I've
like
said
rhinos.
This before. If you did it in L.A., then you get the wordplay, the double meaning, because so many people are have had rhinoplasty.
Oh, I see. Sorry.
So it's like a tip of the hat to, right, all those people, like to Courtney Cox and everything.
Not winos.
No.
Yeah, okay.
No.
That would be a tip
of the hat to me.
Yeah, I would go with hippos. Hippos are bad-tempered, but the problem is that hippo plural, if you go with the hippopotamus, is a little long. Hippopotami, I think, is the plural.
Yeah, but it's potamus. Like knickerbockers. Nobody calls them that but me. Right. You know, they're just the Knicks. So
right.
It'd be just
maybe
like the
LA,
hippos.
The L.A. hippos.
All right, so we've done some good work in this area. You mentioned the lion, by the way. Mm-hmm. I asked one of my favorite recurring questions of Honey Badger. What is the, if you can only eat the flesh of one beast for the rest of your life, and never eat any other beast, which would it be? His answer, the lion.
The lion. Well, he's a honey badger. But what was the other question you said you had
asked?
I interrupted you about 15 minutes ago.
Well, you had asked me as,
yes,
I was heading up to the studio, and that is, if you could have one of these three service jobs, dangerous ones, fireman, policeman, ambulance driver.
Paramedic.
Paramedic.
We struggled with that one.
Which would it be? He went paramedic. I disagree. I think fireman's the way.
I like firemen. Yeah. There is something. That's where I would go. There's something. Like, firemen are always good guys, it feels like.
All three require a certain amount of courage.
Right.
But I think the firemen, first of all, they're all sex symbols. I think
you and I
brave
would,
them.
We were, I mean, it kind of would just
natural
add, it would just add to us.
The firefighting chose us, not the other way
right,
around.
Exactly.
Is the way that would go. But fascinating. So you go fireman.
I would
well.
Go fireman as well.
Well, look who's walking in right now into Studio 66. I can't wait to get his opinion on this and many other
absolutely
important subjects. Here he is, everybody. Get him his headset, would you please, Black Tie? What gives here? Is that thing on? It's one of our favorites. We were just talking about him a moment ago, and now he is here in the flesh. Number 21 of the San Diego Chargers, and a little detour to the Jets, and then retired a Charger. LaDainian Tomlinson, what's the poop, fella?
The Rockies are the poop.
Yeah, I know that they're the poop. You're feeling good, but what happened a week ago when I saw you in the hallway and I said, what's going on with your team?
I wasn't very optimistic
at
that point. They were down 3-1. And, you know, I figured we would win game 5. But game 6, L.A. has to win that game.
Sure.
That's the game. That's the token game that you go back home and you take care of the series and end it. I was shocked that they lost by double digits.
It was really surreal because, you know, football baby, we're doing the sleep training right now back at my house. So there was a minute to go in the third quarter, and they were up 19, were the Clippers. I walked away, and I came back in, and it was a 12-point game, and it was mildly interesting. Wow, though, so they shaved this one down. And in the blink of an eye, it was 6. And then suddenly, Brewer hits the 3, and they're up 3. It's like, what happened here?
I have a confession. I was so upset. They were down by 19. I went to sleep. I went to sleep because I didn't want to see the season end. I didn't want to see it end. And so I went to sleep. And, you know, you get up in the morning and check your phone. I went straight to the app to check my phone and see who won. And I had to do a double take. I said, is that Houston? Did they really win? Unbelievable.
So I went back and watched it.
Right. And see how it happened.
I'm fascinated. I was just talking with someone else around here. I was talking to Curtis Conway of the Bears. And, to a fan, it's intriguing how professional athletes, you know, I think once you get to the pros, you probably have been conditioned from a pretty early age that you're the best. Are you, LT, were you ever not the best player in junior high, high school, or college?
No.
You were always the best. Yeah. It's not immodest to say that. That is likely for anybody.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there was one point, actually, where I had just broken my ankle. I was in the sixth grade, and after I got out of my cast, I lost a lot of my speed. And so that first year back playing football, I didn't start. You know, I just kind of rode the bench. And guys were older than me, but I still always played with older guys. I was still able to start. And that was the only time where, you know, I lacked confidence. You know, I doubted myself a little bit. Granted, I was only, you know, I don't know, sixth grade or so.
Sixth grade.
But that was the only time.
Well, I guess it's interesting because the identifying NFL or any other professional league is you always hear play, well, it's a business. You realize it's a business at some point. Is it because, to some degree, you never got booed, probably. You never heard a bad word about LaDainian Tomlinson until the NFL. Then suddenly people, you're like, what's going on? Nobody's ever criticized me before. Is that a weird trip for random media people and fans even to sort of be coming after you in a negative way?
No, actually, not really, because the town I grew up in Waco, there were a lot of – you got to imagine, think about it, parents that wanted their sons to play, and I was playing in front of older guys mm-hmm. when I was in high school. And so those parents were, he's not there. Why are you playing him? He's not that good. Why is he even in the game, you know? And even when I received my scholarship, I heard talks about, I don't know why he got a scholarship. He's not going to be any good at TCU. Hmm. I don't know what they're doing.
But where do you hear that from? What, on the radio or
in the neighborhood. Right. You know, guys in the neighborhood, you know, you hear about it.
Hmm.
And so that's the first, you know, sign of, I guess, criticism that you hear growing up from your own people.
Right.
And so obviously in college – not really. Yeah, I think you're right. In college, never heard a bad word. You know, never heard any negativity or any fan media on, you know, players in college. Not like it is today. You know, the Jameis Winston thing.
Yeah, that's true. Happen, yeah, it's a different thing
then.
Now.
It's different.
Well, I mean, because I like to talk to you and Curtis Conway, and to some degree it's a product of that we're all talking pro football, so it's fun to talk about NBA or to talk about movies or whatever else. But do you love to catch up with, as a fan, the guys who reach the highest level? I have always said there's an inverse relationship between schnooks like me who can't do it, then, you know, live vicariously through the pro teams. But the pro athletes are kind of people seem more intrigued by the other sports. Do you love to catch up with Dwight Howard and James Harden? Do you know those guys? Are you fans of theirs as we are of, you know, pro football players?
Yeah, absolutely. I am fans of them, but you know, guys that I typically get to know are guys like Mo Williams. Mo is a good friend of mine. Jason Maxill, you know, because we work out at the same gym. Just recently met LaMarcus Aldridge, who work out in the same gym. And so that's how you get the conversation started, and, you know, you become fans. Well, I'm already a fan of basketball, but you really get the insight mm-hmm. of what's going on in the basketball world. As same as baseball guys, like meeting Chris Davis, he works out at the same gym. That guy can lift some weights now. He's pretty strong. He's cock strong. I see why he hits so many home runs.
Well, you know, it's funny, too. I heard Michael Irvin is now trying to recruit DeAndre Jordan to the Mavericks.
Wow.
Are you going to try and recruit anybody to the Houston Rockets?
No, we're good. We don't need anybody. Right
you really now. Feel that? By the way, I said this, you know, I was being snarky to Lakers fans. I wonder if Lakers fans and Kobe continue to think that it was all Dwight Howard's fault as Dwight moves on to the conference finals. What do you think about that? What do you think about this 1-2 punch? James Harden, Dwight Howard. Is it enough to pose any legitimate challenge?
Absolutely it is. The way Dwight Howard is playing, it seems as he has returned to his old form, the way he used to play.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say he's averaging a double-double. I mean, as a center, that's huge for a basketball team. I think – you know, the one area where I see Dwight has improved the most is in his low post game. Like, he is really
– you can isolate him now, and people laugh about that, and he wants it, and he's not good enough to
turn hook.
Receive that. But, yeah, he is dangerous.
And that's because of Hakeem Olajuwon, the influence that Hakeem has had on him in Houston. But to go back to your previous point, I do think we can add one person. I would love to get Rondo. I would love to have Rondo.
Oh, I can't. In the state of Texas?
Yeah.
Cross-state rival Mavericks had a miserable experience.
The Mavericks didn't do him right.
Yeah.
Mavericks didn't do him right. He didn't see eye to eye with the coach in Dallas. And, you know, I think in Houston he'll have more control over the offense and run things the way Rondo wants to run things.
What goes on with that? I know it's a pretty – rudimentary kind of question, but Rondo so dynamite with Doc Rivers for all those years in Boston, but then he goes to Dallas. People, a lot of people at the time said, oh, this is going to be season altering in a good way for them, but then he just doesn't get along. Did you ever have that experience? Personally, I find it hard to believe given the way you comport yourself. But who was there ever a guy who's like, well, he's great, except what if you put him on this coach's team, boy, they're just gonna butt heads and beat. I mean, how could Rondo be this such garbage for the Mavericks and still be valuable to some other team at this point?
Well, it's about trust for the player, and I don't know if he ever had to trust in Dallas, because Rondo has been used to running his own thing. He's been used to running the offense, not looking at the sideline every play like the Oregon Ducks to get the play. You know? He's been, let me do this. I'm the point guard. I'm going to do it how I want to do it. I know what's going on out here, much like LeBron James does. Smart, intelligent players can handle calling their own plays without looking toward the sideline and seeing a fish and a tree and realizing what the play is.
LT, I would say this, though. There were people that knocked on Rondo for saying that he was a selfish assist maker. Like, he would essentially give up layups and shots just to get the assist, and he's the kind of guy who would hold the ball for 18 seconds, not give it up to get a hockey assist, but to hold it for 18 to get the assist because he kept racking up assists. What about that, though? If you put Rondo on the Rockets, you're taking the ball out of Harden's hands.
No, I think they both can coexist, because a lot of times we know James is going to bring the ball up anyway whenever he wants to start the offense. He's going to bring the ball up. I think having Rondo would actually help Dwight Howard so much. You know, I think the lobs that we're seeing right now with the Rockets, that would increase with Rondo.
It would help Dwight, but it might hurt Harden. That's a tricky thing, right?
Well, but think about it. Remember who Harden came in with? He played with Westbrook. You know, as a guy that had to dominate the basketball. And then you had Kevin Durant as well. So I think he's at a point where I think he believes that it can work with a guy like Rondo.
That's an interesting thought. And you know what else I find striking is, and you could have said this about the last round of the West specifically, that the Clippers, the Rockets, the Grizz, and Golden State, who are these teams? You know, the nouveau riche, you know, of the West. But now your Final Four in the whole NBA, think who's winning the title. One, the Rockets are the only team in our lives that have won a title.
Yeah.
And it was forever ago, pretty much. That's the closest we are to a title. They're playing Golden State. I'm trying to even think when they won
76 or something.
I was gonna say 77, but you're probably, because 77 I think is the Trailblazers. Very good pull if you're right on that one, LT. And then you have the Cavs who've never done it, and you have the Hawks who've never done it.
Wow.
How's this stat? This is the first final since 98 that wouldn't have Tim Duncan, Wade, or Kobe Bryant.
Wow.
That's something. Yeah.
Wow.
What do you think? Who's going to try and remove the fandom and see if you can give a clear-minded prediction here? What's your final, and then who's going to win it?
You know, as much as I like my Rockets, I have to be a realist in what I see. I just think it's going to be too tough to stop Golden State. They spread the floor so well. They shoot it so well. And they play efficient defense, you know. And so that coupled together is a recipe to winning the West. I think they'll win it. And I see Cleveland. I just don't see how you beat LeBron James four times.
That's right.
Especially with the way Kyrie Irving is playing, even though he's been banged up. I think this time off has obviously been good for him. He's going to be more healthy.
The other factor is, and people like to talk about it in generalities, but then when it starts to happen, people there's at least a segment of the population that's watching that doesn't seem to grasp what they're looking at. What LeBron's teams do, and he is obviously the centerpiece of doing this, is when LeBron dictates to his team, boys, let's turn it up defensively, their teams become dynamite, and I just think that they're going to be able to make it hard enough on the Hawks to score, to keep up in terms of points. Like you say, Kyrie he's the guy who's going to fill it up for them. LeBron's going to get near triple-double all the time. But what LeBron does, when he decides to dominate at the defensive end, I don't know how many teams can respond to that, obviously. Look at all the finals.
And see, sometimes the experts in basketball, they look at the season series and all the Hawks
won
the season series. But it's totally different. You are now game planning every single game. And when you really study what a team does, it changes the game because the team now has to adjust to what you already know that they can do. In the regular season, you're playing back-to-back nights. You don't have time to prepare for a lot of these teams. That's why I think it's going to be a totally different series from what the regular season transpired.
Well, I mentioned the defense that we'll see in the Eastern Conference, and I agree with you that that's why the Cavs will get it done. The lack of defense is why Golden State's going to get it done. Who's going to check the backcourt duo for the Dubs? There's that the Rockets are not going to.
Jason Terry is a starting guard right now, and
that's not a good matchup.
That's not a good matchup. Steph Curry.
Yeah, 47-year-old Jason Terry trying to chase one of those two guys.
I'll ask LT this before he has to leave here for fancy TA, as you would say, Shaq. Steph Curry, obviously, going up against your Rockets, by far, I think, is the most exciting player to watch in the NBA. Who do you think is the most exciting player in all of sports to watch? I mean, NFL, you have Beckham, you have Russell Wilson, Great Escape and Sax. What about you? Who do you think is the most exciting athlete to watch?
Man, that's a good one. That's a good one.
Do NFL. This is an NFL show, after all. Do NFL.
Oh, no.
Well, you just made the declaration anyway, Black Tie.
I know I did, but I just opened it up to all sports.
Blake Griffin, by the way, should get a mention for exciting. Obviously, he's, if nothing else, fun to watch.
He's not clinical in the post, though. That's
right. Exactly. Yeah.
Who said clinical? You just said exciting. That's nothing. Clinical, by definition, isn't exciting.
If you have, by the way, I was at the game six that they lost, and I saw that layup, that 360 layup. Insane, crazy. And then you see the fourth quarter where he's struggling just to get a basic hook shot. Like, that's not pretty. Like, you know, for every highlight, you have, like, maybe two.
All right,
quarters
but the standard
of.
You laid out was exciting.
Yeah, exciting
else.
Is
well,
throughout.
I would say in basketball, and this is a tough one because, you know, basketball and football, to me, it's hard to kind of judge who's more exciting. You know what I mean? Because basketball, it's a faster pace. You know, and so you get to see a lot more happening. Football, certain guys only touch the ball at certain times in the game. They might not touch it as much. But in basketball, it's Steph and LeBron. You know, because Steph, man, the stuff that he does, the dribbling between people and just turn around and launch a three-pointer, that's exciting. And then his crossover ability, the way he makes people, fall down at times like he did Chris Paul. Like, the guy is fun to watch.
And for those listening, LT right now is going through his hand. He's mimicking Steph right now.
I
agree with you.
I think LeBron is so exciting because
when he turned it on.
It's the dimensions of the man. You know, the 6'8" with the straight-ahead speed, the way he covers half the court in two strides is just something we've never seen before.
To LT's point, though, like, why it's hard in the NFL, I think that's why – Odell Beckham blew up last year because this is a guy week in, week out who was doing something like, whoa, that's just insane. And plus, he's like a 6'1", 6'2 guy.
I'm going to answer the question. Antonio Brown is very exciting.
He's really good.
Yeah, he is.
Really
I will
good.
Say, you know who else? And we're not talking about greatness at all, so don't get crazy. Colin Kaepernick. Colin Kaepernick reminds me of Vince Young when he was at Texas. Because it was when you see something that you've never seen before, that's saying quite a thing about any professional athlete in the 21st century, as long as we've been watching ball. And Kaepernick and Vince Young both would leave guys, you know, world-class athletes, and make them look like they were walking, because of the glide that they have. You know what I mean? Yeah. When Vince Young at Texas, when he scores the national title winning touchdown against USC and the year before in the Rose Bowl against Michigan, he's run. I mean, it looks like he's out for a Sunday jog, but he is blowing by guys. The Bo Jackson run in the Kingdom against the Seahawks, it boggles the mind that no one puts a hand up. That's an NFL team out there. And then once he clears them and he's up the sideline, Kenny Easley, a world-class defensive back, is chasing him and losing ground to him. It's just, you know, sights like that or something.
But at quarterback, I like to watch Aaron Rodgers
yeah.
at any point because he's so effortless yet so talented and – to me, he's head and shoulders above any other quarterback.
Oh, I agree.
Because the all-around talents that he possessed. And so he's always fun to watch. Because
he
always seems
to
be in command. Exactly. He always seems to be in command.
Yeah, the guys that are the exciting QBs have to have the element of maybe taking off and making you pay. And Russell Wilson, him doing the whirling dervish stuff and then killing you with a pass 11 seconds into the play has got to be debilitating.
Russell's another name, obviously, on defense, J.J. Watt. Guy who makes, you know, game-changing plays.
Von Miller is exciting defensively.
More than J.J. Watt?
I love that speed because I'm at something I don't possess, so I covet it. When I see speed like that, it drops my jaw.
But those guys, you know, they make splash plays, which means, you know, they're not making plays every play. A guy like Luke Kuechly, he's making plays. He's around the ball every play. And if you just watch that guy, like, it is amazing the way he plays.
Yeah, that the wheels on him, this is a homer call, but Lawrence Timmons is a slept-on inside linebacker. You talk about wheels and size and intimidation and everything else. All right, we got to wrap it up here, LT, because like we say, you got to go do fancy TV. Best non-sporting event, sporting event. Tuesday night, it is the NBA draft lottery. You got the NBA draft, the NFL draft is in contention. Selection Sunday, when they show you where all the teams are bracketed for March Madness. What's the best non-sporting event, sporting event out there?
The NCAA bracket show.
You like the Sunday show?
I like the
see
Sunday
where your
show.
Team winds up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tough one to beat.
Yeah, it is tough to beat because. I mean, March Madness is so fun, and that's the beginning of it. That's where you see, you know, the matchups, and you start to project what's going to happen. You fill out your little bracket. Absolutely.
That's why Thanksgiving is better than Christmas, because it's the very start, you know? There's so much promise that lay ahead, you see? That's why people get caught up in Christmas. Let's not hurry to Christmas. Let me just enjoy my turkey first.
Exactly.
Then, we have another 3 or 4 weeks of office parties. Then we'll get to the Christmas tree and all that jazz. One more thing, and then you go. I want to do something, LaDainian, and you've got the juice that Damashek doesn't around these parts. I want to make this so. This summer, Battle of the NFL Network Stars. That's right. Do you remember Battle of the Network Stars?
Yeah.
Competition. We do a series of events. 50-yard dash. 10 free throws. Who can throw a football the farthest? And so on. We all do
hit
it.
Hit a baseball out of the park.
Hit a baseball. But we'll you know, we'll make the event so that you can, you know, everybody can do them. But it's a team thing.
Yeah.
One ex player and one non ex player. So for instance, one team could be LaDainian Tomlinson and Dave Damashek. How say you, LT?
I'll go with it because I know if anyone that's on my team, Dave, we're gonna win.
Are you the best athlete here? Willie McGinnis, Bucky Brooks,
well, if you,
Deion Sanders,
yeah,
you beat them all.
I think, well, here's the thing. Deion obviously played football and baseball. Now, he probably has me on baseball, but nobody else in this building is probably a better baseball player than me. Now, the thing about it is Deion is not a better basketball player than me. And so, you see, we have, you know, we're right there. The average is out probably to about the same with me and Deion.
What about
Willie. Now, Willie now. Willie.
Heath Evans?
Nah.
Why are people laughing behind the glass? That's not very nice for Heath. He might listen to this.
No.
Who wins? What if You're drafting, LT. You have the first pick, and it's the football players are the ones drafting the non-football players. Who are you picking from the non-football players? Dan Helly of Total Access? You could pick.
No, I'm picking you, Dave.
Yeah! What do you think of that, Black Tie?
He's just being nice.
He knows about grit. LT can identify
that's
grit.
That's his way of saying he's ready to go.
Is that true, man. LT?
No, that's not.
We're going to do this.
Let's do it.
You're my pick. Yeah. All right. I love it.
Anyway, see? I think Willie will pick Dan. You know, they're boys.
Let them have their fancy team.
Yeah.
Two pretty boys. LaDainian and Damashek, though. LaDamashek. I don't know. We'll work on our team name. I think we got to make this thing happen, and I'm serious about it, too. I've been talking to the executives about it, and they seem not completely dismissive of the idea. I really think it would be
fun.
Well,
that's a good sign.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Usually that, get out of my office. We've told you before, Dave. Please stop coming in here. All right, LaDainian, please go.
All right.
Go talk about pro football. Go talk about the Flategate and all that stuff. And Ryan
nice
Tano.
Talking to you.
All right. A pleasure to talk to you. LT could talk about number 17, Phil Rivers. Is that the best 17? Black Tie, let's rank that out right now.
That's
Phil Rivers is the
do.
Best 17 ever.
Okay.
Doug Williams is the second best.
Oh, man, that's a tough one to
well,
do
he only
spot.
Wore that in D.C. He didn't even wear that in Tampa.
Benny Kozar.
No, Kozar was 19. He wasn't 17. And now you got Ryan Tannehill. So, all right. Oh, you know what we didn't do? With Handsome Hank. By the way, he departed. He had to take off while LT was in there. Now that LT's gone, what about that, Black Tie? He picks me of all the talent.
He's just being nice.
No, I don't think he was. Why do you? Who's he taking?
You know what I like about LT, though?
What do you think he's doing? Taking Andrew Siciliano? Who's he taking over me? Please. Lindsey Rhodes?
If Dan
Dan Hanzus? Please. Who do you think he wants?
Fair enough. Not like, you know. Best choices, but wow. One thing I like about LT though, like he really does know his hoops. It's fun. I'm you know start a new hoop show with LT.
I know, yeah. I love it, and I think that is a great idea. I would like to one day reach a position. In fact, I could have done it today. Just never acknowledge any of his NFL deeds. Just look who he is. He's our NBA expert. His name is LaDainian Tomlinson, and just dig into that. And never mention football would be fun.
Love it.
I don't know if the bosses would like him never being acknowledged as having accomplished anything on the gridiron. We didn't talk about Mad Men.
Nope, we shouldn't because I'm still like 5 episodes off. And Damashek, you're my boy. But if you spoil it for me, a show I haven't watched for 4 or 5 years, it's going to get personal.
I just feel sad that Don Draper.
Get near it. Let's not do it. It's not going to be good.
How many episodes are you behind?
Like 5.
Who do you think you are to try and hold the world hostage? Well, you can't do that.
I mean, you can talk about it. Just let me know, and I'll put the time marker in the episode, and I'll put
well,
my
what kind of
down.
Thing is it? You're 5 behind. Obviously, you're not dedicated enough to even
nope,
keep up with
that's
it.
That's not true. That's nonsense. That's because I don't watch on
you're so
AMC
busy.
Schedule. Doesn't
you're
mean
so busy. You can't. You're a month and a half behind?
That's how I like to watch even Game of Thrones. But Game of Thrones I have to watch every Sunday because there's no way that's not getting spoiled. No
What about my battle of the NFL Network stars?
I love it.
That's a great idea.
Good idea, yeah.
What about –
Can I play, though? I want to get in there.
No, you can't play.
Come on.
You're below the line.
Come on.
yeah, well, listen. I think what we should do is create events that anybody can do individually – thereby allowing everybody to participate. The only ones that'll count for official record will be, well, I mean, internally, it's just, you know, no offense to not you, Black Tie, as a rising star in the sports media, but Sean seated next to you over there, you know, frankly, nobody's going to know who Sean, not, you know, people won't care. Wait, LT and Sean did it? No, you know. Not be, like 3 people care if it's LT and Dave, which is better than.
Have you know Sean is the one who's working on the Tyrann Mathieu video? So
I know he's
don't speak too bad of him.
I'm not speaking bad of him at all.
Spell your name or something.
If we did that, but I think if you do events like 10 free throws, everybody goes out and shoots 10 free throws, then you can do that on your own time. You can get it on your cell phone or whatever, and 50-yard dash and so on. Everybody's thing should be something that doesn't require an opponent or a teammate to accomplish with each of these things. And then we could just have the entire NFL media lineup, one through whoever's in last place. Although then the person that finishes last would be so humiliated it would be hard to show their face. But we got to do that. I really want to do that. We'll do Mad Men. I'm going to give you 2 days, Black Tie. 2 days to get caught up. And after that, shame the devil. Because when we come back in here, we're going to do a review. Handsome Hank will have seen it. We'll talk some Game of Thrones and all that.
Shaq,
that all right,
I know
buddy?
Your day consists of doing a podcast and going into exec offices and floating crazy ideas.
Yes.
But I actually have work to do. I can't just devote 5 hours of my time between now and Thursday. 2 days when there's like playoffs going on and work's going on, workouts for Mad Men.
Watching soccer online endlessly.
Well, soccer
let's
right
not
now.
Act like that you're so consumed with anything other than
well,
sitting and watching
well, that I have to
random
watch
soccer.
Live. I can't watch. Can't put it on DVR. Come on. Before we get out of here, though, let's talk some NFL stuff, please. Ryan Tannehill got a new contract recently. Quickly, rank your top five. I know you just did your top 10 overall quarterbacks. Let's do your top five young quarterbacks.
Well, you know, as far as that list goes, I didn't do it in top 10. Really originated with us talking about it, me, Bucky Brooks, and Elliot Harrison here, whatever that was, a week and a half or two ago. So now we've all generated our individual lists. You can look at them all at NFL.com. These are great fun because, especially when I do it, no one ever disagrees. And so it's really fun to be validated by all the fans. Well, no, wait. People always disagree. I'm sorry. That's what I meant to say. Maybe I got it wrong even. I had Rome. I did it in tiers, first of all. Tier one is Aaron Rodgers by himself. Then there's a pretty nice group at tier two, which is Roethlisberger, Brady, Luck, Wilson, Phil Rivers, and Cam Newton. Now, Peyton Manning, I made
Cam's
him in
high?
I love Cam. I've always loved Cam. I've been unwavering
too,
in my support of him. He's got a distinct skill set. He had the greatest rookie season in NFL history.
RG3 had the greatest rookie season.
We've had this debate on the show before.
RG3 had the greatest
And Cam Newton
season.
Gets him That's... by a whisker. But either way. But Peyton Manning is in tier unclear, I put him in, and people got upset about that. But he's whatever age, 39, 40 years old. We don't know. Was he, in fact, really badly injured in December and January? Or is he, in fact, over the hill? We won't know until he starts playing. And by the way, my list is based on going into the season, but the one people really were upset about was Tony Romo at 11. And I think if I really think about that, I should have moved him up a little bit.
That's crazy talk.
Well, I should maybe have had him at, like, 8 or 9. That was probably a mistake.
All right, so where's Tannehill? You're a young QB. Last
young QB, yeah. Luck is one, yeah. Cam is two.
Not young anymore, right? Going to 3 years?
He's, in fact, in year
Yeah,
four?
This is about to be year four.
This is about to be? No.
For Cam?
Luck, no, this will be year five because Cam beat Luck by a year. Remember, Luck could have come out. Luck is going into his fourth year. So Cam's going into
correct,
his fifth.
Correct, you're right.
So what's the standard? 4 years is
Luck? 2012, so from Andrew Luck, since Andrew Luck's draft.
All right, Luck, and I get, you know, listen, I think it's closer than a lot of experts will tell you between Luck and Russell Wilson. The argument goes, and it really is hard to go against this, if Andrew Luck were on the Seahawks, would they be any worse? What is the answer? Would there be any drop off of Andrew Luck had been
there
QB the last
three
years?
My question there is that especially in the passing game, Russell makes a lot of those plays in the passing game just using his feet.
Yeah, like, Luck can do that too, though.
Yeah, he can do it too, but we've seen Russell do it time and time again. I just don't think, like, here's the thing with Russell. People always, like, discredit what he can do because what he does is not typical. And so it's like, well, but he's not the more traditional drop back passer. Well, he has a different skill set, and it's just like with the Warriors, for example, and how they shoot a lot of threes, and people just discredit that because they don't think that's the way you can win. Well, what if you're really good at it? It might be a way you can win.
I don't poo-poo you as much as a lot of other people would. Russell Wilson, if you put him on the Colts, so then the other side of that is, well, obviously the Colts, what would they be with Russell Wilson? They'd be a pedestrian team. But are we sure about that?
Well, then he has better receivers. Exactly.
Are we sure that they'd be garbage if Russell Wilson had been their QB the last 3 years? Would they definitely not have been playoff teams? But the fact remains, three straight playoff appearances for the Colts on a very flawed roster. The Seahawks are loaded and have been since Russell Wilson walked in the door. The Colts have a very they've got an atrocious defense, and they've had some dodgy aspects in their offense.
Well,
that's the
argument there is the Seahawks haven't been loaded in offense and also have playing a really tough division.
But they are loaded on offense. I know they don't have the pass catchers that you would
We have Marshawn Lynch and Russell Wilson.
And a great offensive line. No, I mean, Seahawks fans say that, well, we don't have a good offensive line. You guys don't know what having a mediocre offensive line looks like. All right, maybe it's not the best O-line in the game. Believe me, Okung and that, you know, listen, that's going to be a major thing that you swap out your center. That is not a small loss. And there are a lot of football insiders that will tell you that's really going to hurt them more than apparently the Seahawks think it's going to hurt them.
All right, so young QBs go Luck, Russell.
Here's the big thing for Russell Wilson. In this year four, they are transitioning. Marshawn Lynch is very likely this is it for him, his last season. And the defense will remain dominant, but clearly you swap out some linemen in favor of getting pass-catching, not blocking tight end. Jimmy Graham, now they better – Russell Wilson's going to have to shoulder a little bit more of the load. They're not going to be a powerhouse offensive team. I mean, they're not going to be a power running team as much once you remove those O-linemen. So now Russell Wilson's going to have to be more of a passer. We shall see.
I mean, you saw that in the Super Bowl, too. Like, there
all right,
was a
well,
lot
let's,
of...
I'm, well, let's see him do it over a full season. Let's see what kind of numbers he generates and so on. I like Tannehill a lot. I think this is a big year for him. I think it's the year for Joe Philbin or Goodnight. I like that Dolphins team. I don't like him as much as Bucky Brooks does. He thinks they're going to win the AFC East. But Tannehill's for real, and I'm rooting for him. I know Black Tie doesn't like when I say this, but we've kibitzed with Ryan Tannehill, and he showed himself to be a funny, nice, good guy. So I'm going to root for him to do well, even though he has the model wife and all that kind of stuff and is now a multimillionaire. So young QB, let me tell you, I'm just trying to – who am I forgetting? You know who I love as much as anybody, with the exception of Luck? Jameis Winston. Hear me now, believe me later. Jameis Winston is going to be a star, and he's going to be a star from day one. And anybody who was on the fence a year from now will be talking about, well, everybody knew he had the goods. And they will ignore their own past remarks about their suspicious remarks about him. Hear me now, believe me later. Jameis Winston is going to have a dynamite year. And I say right here and now, Jameis Winston might be, before ever taking a snap, I might have him if I did, because my rankings that you can see at NFL.com run through 14, I think. I think by the end of this year, people will talk about Jameis Winston being in or very close to the top half of the QBs in the NFL. 16, 17-ish. I'd rather have him right now than Andy Dalton.
It wasn't. Oh, yes, of course. I think.
Don't say of course. I guarantee you, if you polled.
I mean, just
if you
just,
polled NFL coaches right now, I bet you it would be a 90% choice for Andy Dalton.
That is insane.
That's why when you say if a schnook like me says I think Jameis Winston is going to be great, oh, all the curmudgeons come out of the woodwork. Well, that's because you don't understand things. But really, that's the curmudgeonly perspective. You don't get things. I'd rather have a guy you can rely on, and that's how you wind up.
Well, that's how
Ryan Fitzpatrick and Matt Castle and Brian Hoyer and all this, these guys with the ceilings on them, Damashek rolls the dice in life and in football. Give me the kid. He's got the higher ceiling. That's
exactly
who I want to understand.
Exactly, and I think that's why most GMs, unless you're trying to keep your job for this year, would go with the safer choice. That means Andy Dalton. Come on. That's definition in the middle of the pack right there. So you go.
So Jameis is going to be, by the end of this year, he'll be the it's a pretty stacked group all of a sudden with Wilson, Luck, and I do think Tannehill is going to play really well. By the year's end, Jameis will be the third best so-called young QB.
So right now you have Luck, Wilson, Tannehill, Jameis.
Yeah, but am I forgetting anybody? There's Bridgewater's out there. We got to see a little bit more from him before we can render a final verdict there. I don't buy Mariota.
Not going Mariota? Okay.
Not Geno.
Yeah.
Not Glennon. Not RG3.
Bridge is your number five, right? Or Bortles or Carr?
Oh, yeah. See, I'm forget. Ah, see, I guys are
five.
Derek Carr, I like.
Go five.
I think Derek Carr goes number five there. Yeah.
Cool. We'll lastly, just a quick thoughts here on the Patriots deciding not to appeal the picks and the fine.
I think that, you know, this Kraft-Goodell relationship has won out, and as much as people pointed at it in the last handful of days that this is going to do some real damage to Goodell because of the past relationship, in fact, it worked the other way. Friendship has won out once again. They made their peace. They're two, fellas who Goodell probably could bend the ear of Kraft. Kraft went to him. Goodell explained the evidence, and I think that that's why wouldn't they appeal it? Bottom line, if Goodell couldn't provide some reasonable explanation to Kraft, I don't think Kraft's just going to fall on the sword for the good of the game. Please don't. Hey, Bob, please just let this go. It's bad for the league. I don't think that works. I think it's got to be. Listen, here's what we know. Here's the information, and Kraft just accepted it.
So you're saying that, or you're saying there's a deal for like Brady's suspension to be cut in half, or what do you think?
I think the biggest portion of this charge against the Patriots is the Brady suspension. With Goodell personally hearing it, it's going to be awfully hard for him to knock that one down to two or even down to three. But then again, there is a history of Goodell showing a willingness to do that, but I don't think it dropped. I mean, there have been predictions out there. It's going to end up being nothing. I don't see that coming. I think maybe they would take a game off, but I think it's likely that it'll stay at four games when all is said and done there.
All right, last random question here before we wrap it up. Draft lottery tonight, like you said, here on Tuesday night. Who is the one team that's going to get in the top three that shouldn't be in the top three?
I don't know. You're asking me to read a crystal ball.
I don't know. Just give it a random guess. You might be right by the time people listen to this.
I just hope that the Lakers,
I think Miami,
or Knicks.
I think
like college football is better when Notre Dame is good, and you know, NFL football is good when the Cowboys are good. Even if you hate those teams, I think it's better when the Lakers and Knicks are good and relevant. I think that's what you want. The downside is I don't know if I can stomach another 15 years of the NBA's rigged so that the Lakers got that pick, or that the Knicks got it like the Patrick Ewing of 85 fiasco. So I'm rude. I want, on one hand, I'd like to see the Knicks and Lakers get better for the sake of the NBA. On the other hand, I just don't want to hear conspiracy theories for another 15 years. So I'd like to see, how about this?
The Lakers should be fourth based on the odds.
Right. And the T-Wolves should get one. I also, for the story of it, what the Sixers did here, do we want to see them get rewarded or not? I think you don't want them to get rewarded. And I feel sad for Minnesota, who, you know, they and Andrew Wiggins specifically, he gets the Rookie of the Year like we told you he would a year ago.
How about if the
Cavs, what if they get good, though? What if, you know, they have some pieces there, and with Wiggins, it would be nice for the T-Wolves to emerge here.
Hey, how about the Cavs? If they didn't make that trade now, because they're playing like they don't need Kevin Love. This is like the Cavs right now is LeBron on the Cavs back in 2008-2007, except they have a better roster. They have, you know, better shooters. You have J.R. Smith instead of like Larry Hughes or whatever his name was. And, I mean, if they had Andrew Wiggins.
Booby Gibson.
You have Andrew Wiggins, you can throw out of the lineup of J.R., Shumpert, LeBron, and Kyrie. From 1 through 4, that's pretty intense. I think Miami jumps in the top three, though. Miami or OKC, how about that? What if OKC jumps in the top three?
Ooh.
They get harder. They get a Harden type player back.
Wow. To me, I like Selection Sunday when they show all the teams, like LT said there. I think NFL draft is still number one, but boy, that NBA draft lottery is lots of fun, so I'm looking forward to watching that. Hope your team does well with that, and like I say, we'll have a Mad Men review for you.
Maybe.
We have to break down our QB lists. Let's see for Thursday. Is Bucky around? Is Elliott around? We should try to get our proper collective list together. Maybe we could do some of that. Much who in applesauce awaits. And by the way, do us a favor. Go over to NFL.com. Look at the Honey Badger video. There should be two of them. Is that the way it's going to be? One longer one and one very
short. It's going to be a long version and a short version on
75-second one. Yeah, nice 75-second job. We do the one-minute drill. So be on the lookout for that. Much obliged. All right, so listen. With all that being said, We'll talk to you later in the week. In the meantime, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven. Let's go see Mad Max!